Welcome to the latest edition of Auto Insider, where we're talking cars, car dealerships, and mostly crap about both. I don't know about you, but I think we're about ready to get started.
All right, so here's the deal.
Yes.
We're back.
Better than ever. Even though, you know, it appears as if Mike Golic is about to be, well, written out of ESPN Radio's future.
Really?
Yes, after 20 years.
Breaking news on Auto Insider. Well, Mike Golic.
I'm afraid Andrew Marchand broke the news in the New York Daily News a couple days ago. But yeah, it appears as if they're giving Mr. Golic the boot, more than likely.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, well, maybe we'll recruit him for your auto advocate.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so in all seriousness.
Yes.
We are back. It's better than ever.
Yes.
We're talking about, as a follow-up to the previous episode where we talked about how to be an informed new car buyer.
Yes.
How do you become an informed used car buyer?
Ooh, that's a tough one, Zach. But once again, we're going to have to enlist the aid of the Google machine.
The trusty Google machine.
Yeah, the trusted Google machine.
You date yourself every time you say Google machine.
I can't help it. You know, I am older. And you know, one of the things you can do is you get the VIN of a particular used car that you're interested in, and you plug that into the Google address bar, or the question bar, or whatever the hell it is, the lookup bar. What, I don't know what you call it.
I wish the audience could see the look on my face.
Yes. And hit enter, and it'll spit stuff out. And it might spit stuff out that you could use. It might spit stuff out that's worthless, but it can spit information out. And one of the things that you want to hope to try and find out when you're gathering information on a used car, and we must preface this, that no two used cars are exactly alike. Oh, they might have had the same exact options, factory installed options when they were built, but no two used cars are exactly alike because no two used cars were driven exactly alike. No two used cars were maintained exactly alike. No two used cars lived in the same environment, weather-wise, exactly alike. So these are things that you have to realize. No two used cars are exactly alike, but they're pretty damn close.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if you're looking for a used car, what I recommend is that you find several that might be candidates for you, and then try and gather as much information on those cars as you can. Now, what kind of information do you want to gather? You want to run a VIN. You want to find out, get some VIN-specific information. One of our viewers suggested you might ask your insurance agent to run the VIN, because insurance companies have access to additional VIN information that we might not.
That's a really great tidbit.
So ask, I thank the guy profusely for that. Ask your insurance agent to run the VIN and see if there's any VIN history that they can pull up that might indicate accidents or flood damage or whatever, hail damage, whatever. So that's one thing. Carfax, auto check. You know, two cars that could be similar. One might have been a rental car. There have been any number of comments in regards to a video we did about rental cars where half the audience goes, oh, I've never had an issue with a rental car that I've ever bought. And the other half of the audience goes, I wouldn't touch a rental car with a 10-foot pole. And then there's people that worked in the rental industry that would go, oh, they're always well-maintained and taken care of, but if there's any real issues with them, nothing's reported to Carfax because they're all self-insured and they don't report. And then other people that have worked for rental car agencies that go, we never maintained them. So, I don't know. It's like any used car. It's a crapshoot.
But you got to know the title and
history. But you need to know to look for that. And you need to know to look on a Carfax or the title? Was it rebuilt? Or is it a branded title because it was a salvage title? And why was it a salvage title? Because there were any number of comments that we received from customers, a guy who bought a car that was 3 years old, and it was a salvage title because it had the car had been stolen from the dealership and had just been sitting somewhere for 3 years. The police found it, recovered it, returned it to the dealership. But because the dealership had been paid by the insurance company, well, the title became a salvage title because it had already been paid for. Okay. Now, I can tell you a quick story, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
At Admiral Nissan, when I ran that here in Pleasantville, New Jersey, we literally did have a Z car that was stolen. We didn't even know it was stolen. We did such a thorough job of checking our inventory. We didn't even know it was stolen until the state police got in touch with us like 18 months after the damn thing had been stolen.
That's hilarious.
They found a Z car, of course, and we didn't have to declare it as a salvage title because we had never reported it to the insurance company because, well, we weren't smart enough to know it had been stolen. I want you to know that my skills improved dramatically from the beginning of my career, and I took things a little more seriously when it came to making sure that we did inventories every month, and we touched every car, and we verified that every car existed. But there can be, I mean, cars can have hail damage, and they might be salvage title for that. Now, unless, you know, the hail's the size of boulders, you know, and there have been some severe hailstorms, and I know that insurance companies employ these specialized dent buster people, dent wizard people, that are really, really good at their craft. And they send them as a team to areas that have been hit with hailstorms. And they go in and, you know, the insurance company would rather pay them $1,500 or $2,000 to take out every one of these little dents and dimples than to pay the dealership $30,000 or $40,000 by declaring a brand new car total.
Yeah.
So...
Okay, so you've made the point clear that you need to check the title.
Sorry.
to be an informed used car shopper.
Didn't mean to ramble.
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure I've got it right on my end. So you're going to get the VIN because you're probably searching on AutoTrader, Cars.com, CarGurus. So when you see that listing, grab the VIN, Google search it.
Yes.
If you're really interested in the vehicle, and get in touch with your insurance agency.
Yes.
Ask them to run it.
Yes,
see what
which
they
I thought
can
was
find.
Great.
I think that's brilliant as well. And look at the Carfax, look at the auto check, recognize that maybe not everything's been reported there. And if you need to, ask the dealership, I guess, for the title to see if it was a rental car or not. Because,
well,
as you've said, you know, rental cars have these really strange histories, potentially.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, some people swear by them, some people wouldn't touch them. So who knows?
It's,
you know, I don't know the answer to that one. And then the other thing, which came into my head, and as quickly as it came in, it escaped. The other one is that if you're looking at several cars, that you want to, and you're in a specific geographic area, you want to do some market research and see what similar cars in your specific geographic area,
50 mile radius, 100 mile radius, whatever it is,
what those cars are all going for, what the dealerships are asking for them, so that you can get a sense of what the fair market value would be for a car like that. And the best way to do that is to, you know, to visit the different websites, the dealerships' websites, or Car Gurus or Auto Trader or whoever the hell it is, and put together a spreadsheet of what the cars are, what the miles are, and what the asking prices are.
And
pain in the ass.
Well,
but it's a way to give you.
You got to remember, Deb, we're building. Not to plug us too much, but back on the EuroAutoAdvocate.com website, we're building a market price report tool where you just input a VIN and a.
Really? I had no idea.
Yeah. That's,
wow. I don't know. You know, Zach is a wonderful son, but he treats me like he's a mushroom farmer. He puts shit on my head and keeps me in the dark. I don't know. Just, you know, I'm out of the loop. What
you
can
reviewed
I say?
The design files
Shut
yesterday.
Come on. Just trying to have a little fun.
Anyway.
And yes.
So, yeah, no, you're bringing up a good point, though.
Yes.
Because unlike with new cars where you could find a vehicle that has the same window sticker
yes.
at the other four Hyundai dealerships nearby, yes. You're not going to be able to find four identical used cars, so you need to see what they're going for in the market. And you can speak to this. That's what the dealers do to set their pricing. They use a,
yes.
Most of them use a tool called V-Auto.
That is correct.
So if you're driving right now or you're working out or whatever you're doing to listen to us to ramble, Google search V-Auto afterwards. Okay, it's owned by Cox Automotive. These are the tools that dealerships use. And what does V-Auto do, Dan? Tells you the prices of everyone else in your market region and tells you how competitively you should price your used vehicle, right?
Exactly. That's exactly what it does.
So that, as a consumer, that's what you need to do as well to be informed about, you know, if you're getting ripped off or not.
Well, you know.
Okay, maybe not getting ripped off, but if you're the fat deal for the dealership that month,
yeah, they're looking for you. If what some dealers call a laydown, somebody that just walks in and goes, "Oh, I gotta have that car," well, you're pretty much guaranteed you're not getting any money off once you've said that. But those are some of the things that you need to do so that you can be an informed used car buyer. Now, the other thing that you're going to want to do is you're going to want to ask the dealerships when you're interested in the cars that you're interested in, please email me a copy of the state inspection that was required, state safety inspection, and please email me copies of your repair orders as to what you actually did in reconditioning for the car.
So glad you brought that up.
Me too, because otherwise that was another thing that was just getting ready to escape the sieve that I call my brain.
Yeah. Well, and because maybe explain a little bit why you want to be asking for those things. And I guess the example would be you're a dealer, you just bought a car at auction. Yeah, I mean, as a consumer, I want to know what reconditioning you had to do to that vehicle.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to see what they found when they did their checklist. What the mechanic said it needed, and then whether or not the used car manager approved doing the work, and what the work was, and it'll show you on a repair order, it'll show you what all the items that got replaced. You know, brakes, brake pads, rotors, tires, trim pieces, window regulators, you know, you have a right to know.
And these are some
I don't know if you have a right to know, but...
You can ask.
You definitely have the right to ask.
Yeah.
And let me put it this way, if the dealership doesn't feel compelled to want to share that information with you, well then, go do business with the dealership that will.
Exactly, yeah. You need some level of transparency when you're buying
yes,
a used car.
Absolutely.
And that's why I kind of wanted to pivot just briefly. I mean, there are all sorts of different ways you can buy used cars. You could buy a used car from a private party. You could
yes,
buy a used car from an independent car dealer. You
yes,
could buy a used car from a franchise car dealer. And so one of the other things, I guess, that I'll mention that I want your feedback on, Dad, you should be informed about the type of used car you're getting. If you're getting a certified pre-owned used car, there are certain benefits, but also a higher asking price associated
with it. Yeah, because there's more involved in certifying a car. You can't just... Let's say you're a Lexus dealer, and you've traded a 2018 Lexus, and you can't just say, okay, it's certified. No, you have to... It has to go through a more thorough inspection than the dealership might normally do. And so... Right there to the service department, your expense just went up as the used car manager, because instead of paying for an hour to inspect the vehicle, now you might be paying for 2 hours, and at $125 an hour, that adds up. And then the things that they find that they have to repair are more than likely greater than if they just do a normal inspection. And then they can't just say, okay, it's certified. They have to certify it with Lexus, and when you do that, there are fees involved because the warranty gets extended. And for the privilege of having Lexus extend that warranty, they charge the dealer a certified pre-owned fee. And, you know, it might be $750, might be $1,000, and customers will say, well, will they only just charge me $1,000 more than the car that's not certified? And the answer to that question is probably not. And the reason it's probably not is because that car has an extended warranty now on it, that if you wanted to put that same type of extended warranty on the non-certified car, that might cost $2,000 to do that. So... Are they going to just say, okay, well, we'll just charge you $900 and say, no, no, you're buying $2,000 more value. And that's why it's there.
And so that, again, goes to the point of if you're shopping for that,
yes,
let's say it's a Lexus RX 350 or whatever the heck they make.
Yeah.
They got so many different cars.
They do.
And you find one at an independent car dealer.
It's not going to be certified. Exactly. It's not going to be Lexus certified, but there's other certified programs out there that make it sound like it's a certified car, but it wouldn't have the same coverages as a Lexus certified.
Same inspection,
yes,
or
the
factory warranty,
yes,
extended warranty. But that might have a much lower price. But
yes,
as a consumer, this is what you need to be informed about, is that there are different types of certified. There are just plainly different types of expectations that you should have if you're buying a car private party, independent lot, or from a franchise dealer.
Private party, there's no warranties at all.
Well,
you're
was
buying the car absolutely as is. When you buy a car from a dealership, whether it be a franchise dealer or just an independent used car dealer, unless they have you sign a form that says you're buying it as is, there is some type of warranty, whether it be 30 days and 1,000 miles or whether it be 90 days and 3,000 miles. But there's some type of warranty. And there's also a dealership's reputation that's on the line. You buy a car from a private party and you've exchanged funds and you've already been to the motor vehicle agency and had the title put in your name, and well, as you pull out, the transmission drops out of the car. Guess who owns that transmission problem? You do.
But it
not
is
the
important
guy that sold it to you.
It is important that you bring up the as is, because I know a lot of independent lots,
they sell as is.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And so again, as a used car buyer,
yeah,
be informed about that.
Absolutely.
Look up in your state what your rights are as a consumer if you purchase an as is used car, because lemon laws in a lot of states don't apply to used cars.
No, they don't apply to used cars.
Exactly.
No,
it's a lemon.
Laws are for new cars.
Exactly. So, as a consumer, again, these are the things to be aware of, because
yes,
you might
most,
not want.
Most states don't take particularly good care of customers when they buy a car as is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, again, if you're shopping on price, if you're thinking, oh, maybe I should buy new, but I don't want to pay for all the depreciation over the next, couple of years. Okay, maybe I'm paying a little extra to go through the dealership to get something that's certified pre-owned, but I don't have any headache, or maybe I go cheaper.
The dealership will have to stand behind it,
Definitely.
The independent lot doesn't, and the private party
definitely
doesn't. Well, those are things to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that enough for now?
Yeah, I think we've covered our bases there, so I guess
I don't want to give all the secrets away in three episodes.
Yeah, we got to get people coming back for episode.
Yeah,
and then
by saying that, people go, "Oh, he's not really an auto advocate. He isn't here to help. He doesn't want to share all the secrets." I do. Just over time, it takes time.
All right, Dad. Well, thanks for being our auto insider.
That's me, your auto insider. I'm here for you. Thank you.